Have you ever desired to help someone who's self-righteous? They think they're perfect and everyone else is at fault. Does it drive you crazy? What do you do? How can you make a difference? Well, today we're going to talk about Simon and the story of the sinful woman. He didn't think he needed help, but Jesus knew otherwise.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Cherie Frizonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
If you want to follow along in the discussion, purchase the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum from the links provided. It's going to make what we talk about a bit more understandable. But if you don't have it, no worries, you're still benefit by listening.
Episode 2.1. Today in our podcast, we are discussing Session 2, page 11, heading, The Portrait of the Sinful Woman.
So in this portion of the curriculum, we read the story of the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, and we read the text on page 11, in which we discussed the story of the sinful woman and Simon.
What did you think about Simon?
Oh, well, I think that it encourages me as somebody who really enjoys evangelizing to go and be encouraged in sharing my faith in any circumstance, you know, because sometimes, you know, we think, oh, this guy, these people are just way too far, you know, like they're not going to want to, you know, hear this or, you know, these people will never be Christian. Or whatever your kind of thoughts are, maybe you think, you know, like, you know, that you're not just, maybe you're not the right person to minister to somebody like that. Let's use just like a cliche, you know, like drug dealer or like, let's say gang bike member or something like that. You know, we sometimes take our own fear and we, you know, handicap the situation to where we need to really understand that like we are bond servants and messengers of Almighty God. And sometimes we just need to fear God more than we fear man.
That's
because
true.
When we actually build up the courage to actually say what God says in a loving manner, and actually expose truth, sometimes those guys, you know, it's the first time that they've heard something like that.
Yes.
You know, maybe because they are really rough and tough on the outside. And so, nobody's brave enough to share something with them that would maybe conflict with what they're doing in their life.
Yeah.
But when you do share that, yeah, you see sometimes that these guys that are these great sinners, like this woman, even though it's a different example, this woman isn't, you know, like a rough and tough person, but she has great sin, to where these guys, they know they have great sin.
Right.
They know that they're working for darkness.
Right.
And so when light is shined on that, you know, you do get one of two things. You either get hyper defense.
Right.
Or you get someone that actually, you know, has the potential to turn from their life.
Right.
I think that it's encouraging because me coming from my line of work and knowing a bunch of people that have had very bad histories, those are the ones that are really just on fire.
I mean,
they really, you know, right out of spiritual prison. They had a life sentence. And they just got out, and they look like they have, like, just new life, and they're ready to start going and sharing it with everybody.
Right. It's amazing. One time we were in New York City, and it was right after September 11th. Like, we went on a short-term trip. It was just, like, 3 weeks after. And we're on the subway, and one of the women on our team, it was a really crowded subway, she started witnessing to these, like, three gang guys. And she was just, like, bold, and she just, in the short time we were on that tram, she shared the gospel and asked them, did they want to get saved? And so one of the guys, like, yeah, I want to get saved. And she says, get on your knees. And he's like, what? And she says, if you want to pray the repentance prayer, you need to get on your knees right here. And he's like looking around, you know, like, you want me to do this right here? And she's like, on your knees. And that kid got on his knees and prayed to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And it was just amazing. And like you said, he's probably the one that's like, really radical, on fire for the Lord now, you know, because it is walking out of darkness into light. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is Simon had, you know, he was a Pharisee and he had a spiritual righteousness. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't recognize his sin. And a lot of times I see that. I especially see it here in Bulgaria, that, you know, these people are Christian. And so they think everything's okay. I've even had people say to me, both here and in the States, that, you know, well, I'm no longer a sinner because I'm saved. And it's like, no, that is not what God's word teaches. You are a sinner saved by grace. But we still struggle with sin every day. And when somebody's spiritually righteous, they can't see their own sin. And that's how Simon was. He couldn't see himself. Mm-hmm. He could see that she was a sinner, but not him. And what's interesting in this passage is Jesus talks more to Simon than he does the sinful woman. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it as the story of the sinful woman, mm-hmm. but Jesus actually talked to Simon more.
Yeah, it should be the story of the self-righteous Simon.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and then I love the part where it says, who's going to love him more? The mm-hmm. person who had a little bit of things forgiven or a lot? And Simon, he knew the answer. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, you have judged correctly. However, Simon still didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And in my early years, when the Lord first put this passage on my heart, I hadn't even written the curriculum yet. I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? She who's been forgiven much loves much, but he who's been forgiven little loves little, right? What exactly does it mean? Because it's not that Simon had less sin than she did. Mm-hmm. They both were equal sinners, mm-hmm. but she recognized she had sin and she came to him and she kneeled at his feet and she wanted what Jesus had to offer. Simon didn't recognize it. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy in our life who thinks he's a Christian. I call him a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he claims to be a Christian, but he thinks he is all righteous and that everything with him is just perfect. And it's everybody else around him that is causing the problems and messing things up. And there's been a couple times that I've like tried to witness to him and he just gets such on the defensive, that mm-hmm. hyper defensiveness, mm-hmm. like you said. And so he doesn't even, because he's so hyper defensive, he's unwilling to admit any of his sin. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't gone to God and asked forgiveness. So he who's been forgiven little loves little. Mm-hmm. And this guy loves little yeah. because he's so filled with bitterness and anger. And so when we're working with different people and taking them through the curriculum, we're really going to have one of two types of people. We're either going to have a sinful woman, and sinful women we can help because they're willing to be honest with themselves. They're willing to be honest before the Lord, and they're willing to say, Lord, do a deep heart surgery. Mm-hmm. Or we'll have Simon, mm-hmm. and they're just complaining. They're fighting you. They're unwilling to do that deep heart work. Everything is everybody else's mm-hmm. fault. It's not theirs. And sometimes you just want to give up on that person, you know, but don't give up on that person. There's still hope because God's word says that it won't return void. Mm-hmm. And so we just pour into that person. And I've had some of those women that have just like fought me the whole time. And I'm like, Lord, they're not getting it, you know, or whatever. They're refusing to get it. And I've had them come back 2-3 years later mm-hmm. saying, I got it. I know you didn't think I got it then, but I got it now and my life's been radically changed and I reread the book. And so you're still planting that seed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just takes a little bit more for God to just, you know, peel back that, yeah. that yuck in their heart. Mm-hmm. We had one woman here in Bulgaria one time, we were doing a Go in Peace weekend. And we got to this part where completing this chapter and the next chapter, and she was ready to leave. She got up from the table. It's not my fault. It's their fault. I'm going to leave. And we're like, well, let us just pray for you before you leave, you know, because we love you. We know that a lot of the things that you have gone through are other people's fault, but you still have to get to the place where you take responsibility for what's going on in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so we prayed for her, and I don't know what the Lord had us say, but something that connected. And she ended up staying, and her whole life was changed. And that weekend, she forgave, you know, the people who hurt her and her family. And that week, she went home, and she took this picture of her whole family and sent it to us and said, look at this, is my happy family. And wow. Yeah, it was just really cool to see what God did.
And just to kind of go back to the story, like, I kind of want to, like, study this, like, physical example, like, a little bit more and encourage people who are wondering where our place is and how do we get to where, you know, Jesus wants us to be in our relationship with him. And one thing that I see sometimes happen is we approach Jesus eye to eye, you know, and I mm-hmm. think that, like, it's kind of, it's wrong in our approach as Christians to approach Jesus eye to eye. I think that sometimes we see Jesus first as a friend, then as a savior, when really we need to understand that he is God Almighty, savior, and then friend. And yeah. I think that this woman has the right approach to understand that when she was coming to meet Jesus, she met him at his feet.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that too often we just want to meet Jesus at the table with Simon. Right. We just want to pull up a chair and go, hey, we're here. We're part of this group. When really what we need to do as Christians is first meet Jesus at his feet and let him invite us to the table. There's yeah. kind of like that humility that I think needs to take place first
right.
in our Christian lives before we're able to kind of partake with Jesus, you know, and he does say in scripture that we are heirs. He has great plans for us. He will exalt us, but we need to make sure that we're doing just that, beating him at his feet and letting him exalt us and not have us exalt ourselves. Because when we exalt ourselves, that's when we're blinded of our sin. And I think that's when it really cripples us to even see that people are hungry for Jesus. And that if we don't understand the magnitude of what Jesus has done in our lives to save us, then we're actually putting little value on it, and then it's not that much of a passion for us to gift that knowledge to somebody else.
Right.
You know, when we understand how valuable it is to us and we share it with someone, it's not something like we're just going, yeah, I'm Christian because this is like my lifestyle that I kind of approve mm-hmm. of, and I'm kind of a traditionalist, you know, and so this is why I like this because it's the old way of doing things. Mm-hmm. No, this is like, I'm saved from my sins, and Jesus radically changed my life because mm-hmm. I've been given this free gift, and Jesus died on the cross for my sins.
That's a really good point, because when you look at the story of the sinful woman, she came to Jesus from behind. She didn't feel like she could approach him from the front. And so she came from behind in humility and knelt at his feet. And it is a really good point you make, that that's a good way to start. Later, some people get another story in the Bible confused, where another woman approached Jesus from the front, standing face to face, and anointed him with oil. And they think it's the same story, and it's not. It's different. She was a friend of Jesus. I believe it was Mary. I haven't looked at that story for a while, and I have a little bit of a migraine today. But I believe it was Mary who came to him in the front and anointed him with oil. But this is a totally different woman who's coming from behind and anointing him with oil. And yeah, she came to his feet. Very interesting. And you know it had to be hard for her. She knew who the Pharisee was. She knew she was going to be judged when she walked into that house, you know. Pretty amazing. So it cost her something. It cost her to do that. Interesting.
Thank you for joining us today in our discussion of the sinful woman and Simon. I hope our podcast encourages you to not become discouraged in doing good, especially in ministering to the Simons in your life. May God richly bless you as you serve him.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Sri Verzonki and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace Leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve him.